What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia, points all over the East Coast. Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury speaking to the media now.
Get it out of the way with some of these other jobs. Have you had talks with any other teams? Of this
same answer as last week.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Just want to get it out of the way.
We got it out of the way.
So we're, with Jaden, we kind of ask every week, but is there anything more that you still learn about him during these games, you know, watching him in these moments?
Yeah. I mean, every week I think something new comes up that's specific to the game, but the poise, the work ethic throughout the week, the mentality doesn't waver. I mean, he showed up same time this week every morning early and put in the same work he did the week before and the previous 16 weeks. So I think there's specific instances that continue to help him grow and evolve as a player, but he's very consistent in his approach and has been since he got here.
And then De'Ami Brown with the big game last week. There has been a number of times this year where other guys have had that.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him this year, and why do you feel like there's this group kind of rotates who else has that big game?
Yeah, they've all stepped up when the number's been called. And De'Ami is a guy who, when we got here, I had known about him from North Carolina. We obviously looked at him when I was at Arizona. And just the attitude and the approach really has gotten more businesslike and more professional throughout this season. And it's paying off. I mean, he's showing up over and over and over. Always been able to run, always been able to, you know, be really good with the ball in his hands. But his route technique and fundamental things like that are really improving, and it's a credit to him and the way he's approached this season. And so to have a game like that in that type of environment was really cool to see that hard work paying off.
With the run game, coaches will always say, hey, we got to keep running kind of no matter what to a certain degree, and you guys did that the other night even though some of the numbers yard for carry weren't that great. How, when you're in the moment and it's not maybe working exactly as you hope, how much discipline is there? Do you need to, hey, we got to stay with this for whatever strategic reason you want to?
Yeah, it's helped me having a defensive head coach, I can tell you that much, because he lets it be known we need to run the football at times that I would maybe in my previous life be airing it out. But we're going to do whatever it takes to win, and we have good backs, and we've had a great scheme throughout the year. We faced some good fronts. I mean, those two guys inside there are as good as anybody we played against all year at Tampa, and the linebackers are tremendous players. So it was a challenge. Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive minds in the league and has been for a long time. So overall, it was a challenge, and we just kept plugging away at it, and Jaden made some plays with his feet that helped us out. But I really, having DQ and just him mentoring me in a way, if you will, just about sticking to the run game, how it affects the defense, you know, seeing it from that perspective has been good for me.
And just early thoughts on Detroit's defensive front.
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job. I've been really impressed. I know some of the numbers don't look as good as they may want, but when you consider the injuries and the things that have happened to them, it's pretty amazing what they've done. And I thought their best performance was, you know, the last time they were out against Minnesota, they were dominant. Whoever they put in plays hard, they're disciplined, and they make you earn every inch. And so that's a credit to Aaron and Dan and the culture they have going there.
I know Quinn has talked a lot about these winning time moments, and now that you guys have won 5 games on the very last play from scrimmage, kind of what goes into it from your standpoint, just in preparing the offense for times like last week where clock management is such a big deal?
That's, Dan's done a tremendous job of just, you know, we talk about on offense being situational masters and repping those things and those type 4-minute drills or 2-minute drills or, you know, centering right, centering left. So we get them a bunch multiple times each week, and when they show up, the guys are, they've been through it. There's a calm because they've been through it, and they've just executed at a high level when that number's been called.
So what is your feeling on the sideline when it always comes down to that final drive, that final play? Is there any nerves?
I've been
like it
getting a tighter fade to hide the gray hairs, I don't tell you that much. I do not love it. I do not love it. But it's been a fun group. They're resilient as hell. They keep fighting no matter what. And, you know, on the sideline, you always feel like you have a chance. And that's been fun to be a part of.
Is there an emotional or a strategic advantage to hitting a deep ball early like you guys did in Tampa Bay?
More so, I think, getting Terry the ball. He's a guy you see the sideline erupts. Like, he gets going. I just got to continue to find ways to get him touches early. But that was a tremendous throw and catch. And definitely gave us some confidence. But when he's involved early, we've been a lot better on offense.
What are the challenges and opportunities facing a guy as aggressive as Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get you. You got to just stay within yourself. I think sometimes you can become an emotional play caller, if you will, and like, oh, God, we got to make this up. And you just know, hey, with his scheme, there's going to be times that they win and they get you, and you're going to have some negative plays, but you're going to have a chance because they take risks to hit some big ones as well. And I think just staying in your pocket and not trying to force stuff, not getting out of your comfort zone and your rhythm because, you know, they've hit you on a few things. But he's done a tremendous job with that group. Like I said, to have the injuries they've had and still play the level they're playing at right now has been really impressive.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. What can you say about Jaden's development this year and hitting third and fourth window passes?
That was something that I thought jumped dramatically from his junior to senior year at LSU. And that was the thing that blew me away the most was his progression in the pocket. I thought junior year it was okay, but he'd get out and use his legs a lot more. And that second year, he was progressing through, getting to the third, fourth, finding his check down. And that's something that's just, you know, he uses the virtual reality stuff constantly. And I think that really has helped him just hang in that pocket and nail those reads and go through it like he does. But that's for a young guy to stand in there and do what he does and get to those reads has been as good as I've ever seen from a young player.
And then there's some people out there who believe that all the close games you guys have had to win last 30 seconds is actually kind of a sign that you're very beatable and maybe even getting lucky in some of those situations.
I like how you phrase that. Some people
right.
Out there.
I know you don't.
Not me bringing up the question.
Yeah. I know you don't necessarily concern yourself with other people who think about that, but what would be kind of your counter to that argument?
Yeah, I don't have a counter, just that that's the NFL. And if you find a way to win six in a row, you're playing at an extremely high level.
We're going to see the two top fourth down offenses in this game. For you, I know that coach tells you in this situation, we're going. Does that, I'm going to use the term free you up, or does that free up the way you call an offense knowing that you're most likely in certain halves of the field, you're going to go four downs?
DQ does a great job of letting me know really prior to the drive, hey, from this point on you'll have it, you know, fourth and three and less, or fourth and five and less. So it definitely helps the fact that he's so on top of it prior to the drive, how I call the play sequencing. You know, third down can really become a second down at times. So that's been a great kind of marriage with us. I'm always saying let's go for it on fourth down, so he's got to just, you know, not listen to me half the time, but he does try to give me the heads up, which allows me to call that drive differently.
If you mentioned trying to get Terry the ball, I'm wondering how you've seen the Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin kind of rapport from even the spring workouts last year to now, and how has that maybe changed, if at all, the way you call games?
Yeah, I just they have built through the year, there's no doubt. I think the first couple of games, the ball wasn't coming to him as much as we would have liked, and, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but teams are also doing stuff to take him away. I mean, he's had a Pro Bowl year. He's second team All-Pro. You know, I think those two guys are just going to get better and better as they go. I mean, they're two very conscientious players that are team-first guys and work really hard at it.
Coach, when you got here back in February, you talked about how your time at USC helped you develop as a coach. When you're looking at your first season here in Washington, how do you feel like you've evolved as a coach and a play caller?
I think every year you take something. This year, just being able to move some of the pieces around and do some different things offensively. I don't think, you know, we knew what we'd have with some of the wideouts or what Zach had left or maybe Eckler. And so just to be able to try to maximize each guy and then get with the new offensive staff. You know, Brian Johnson's phenomenal. Bobby Johnson, Anthony Lynn, Bobby Engram, Tavita, David Blau, all those guys, you take a little bit of new stuff from them, and they have a huge part of this offense each and every week and what we install and what we game plan with. So that has probably been as big as anything, just the relationships with those guys and learning from them.
Yeah, Cliff, to follow up on what Chico's asking about fourth down, what is your process for coming up with, like, your menu of, like, fourth down plays that you might call in a game? And secondly, like, is there a difference in calling a fourth and short play compared to a third and short play, you know, your own 20 or something like that?
Yeah, you try not to let that be a different mindset. You know, you try to call the best play that's going to gain the line to gain. And that's, if you can really separate that, I think it helps you as a play caller. And then I always think players, not plays. I think, like, the other night on the 4th and 5, it was like that ball was going to go to Zach Ertz no matter what. It was the most first day one base install play we had. And I knew that he would present and give us a chance. So that's really what it comes down to. You'll have your list, but when you're going for it 5 times, you got to get to some other things. And it's always about players first.
What is third and medium? You got, I don't know the percentages, but I'd imagine most of these teams, the opposing defense thinks about spying Jaden. Do you account for that as a play caller? What goes into your mind when you know they might have a spy? How do you take advantage or view that?
Yeah, if we've seen some stuff on film previously, and you can figure that out, you know, about the first time they run it, they're usually short a guy somewhere because of that. And so Jaden, like we mentioned earlier, he's so good at progressing through stuff that really helps the passing game. And if they're not spying, he does a good job of feeling it out when it's time to take off and go. So to me, if they want to burn one just spying him, then somebody's going to be open on the back end.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you all.
Cliff Kingsbury talking there. I think offensive coordinators generally look forward to seeing a spy.
Yep.
Because what Cliff said, it means you're 11 on 10 somewhere else.
You like something up.
It's somebody that isn't doing what they should be doing otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think both the coordinators, pretty clear, pretty funny. I don't think any – you know what I mean? I can't envision any coach thinking – they're in the divisional round being lucky. I think coaches don't really buy into that, especially at this point. You know what I mean? I think for Cliff.
You're lucky because you work at it.
Right. I love the players not plays mentality. And I think as exciting. Dude, Ben Johnson looks to be a fantastic, fantastic coordinator, right? But that team is also loaded.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we should all be kind of cognizant of that. And I think, you know, going forward, it's like, all right, what exactly is the situation for Washington to devise the right game plan going into this thing? And I think we've talked a lot about the short passing and trying to shorten this game with really long drives. And I think that's going to be a huge part of it, don't you?
I think it is. I think my plan, like this week, I do at least top three every week, and I was talking to you earlier about it. My top players are Witt, Kingsbury. I believe those game plans are going to set the tone off the bat. If it's something that the guys come out and they see and they think, okay, this is going to work with us, you can play freely then. And they got to come up and devise something that is going to be something that it's what they're doing, but they're going to throw some wrinkles to it to where Detroit's going to be like, what the hell is going on here? Players take the rest. They got to do it.
It's going to be really a fascinating game plan and game flow, and this is what you want, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm thinking we do. We're going to do a Wednesday vibe check. I am really curious where people are at on what they're most confident, what they're most nervous about going into this game. And I think I'll answer it to start. We'll open the phone lines up here. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What are you most confident about? What are you most nervous about as Washington prepares to go to Detroit Saturday night, divisional round of the playoffs? We might have to remove this, but I think I'm not going to because that's how they've gotten here.
Mm-hmm.
Most confident in Jaden.
Yeah.
Jaden responds to the biggest moments, man.
He does.
And every moment keeps getting
bigger.
And he's
done it consistently.
Every moment keeps getting bigger, and he keeps responding.
Yeah.
I would also add, I've grown to be very confident in Dan Quinn's ability to ready a team to play. I think over the course of now 18 games, they've probably had one stinker. And I think as these moments have gotten bigger and bigger post-bye week late in the year, they've stepped it up each week and delivered. But what I'm most confident in is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it would probably be Wagner, McLaurin.
Terry. I'm totally confident in Terry.
I'm confident in Ertz.
I'm in those two together.
Sure.
We kept saying early on, remember the first game, man, Terry didn't get involved. They sure in the hell got it working.
Totally.
Because since then, he got 14 touchdowns.
Totally. I think it's pretty damn remarkable what he's been able to put together. What am I most concerned about? The Lions run game. The Lions run game has been really damn good. I do want to give credit to Washington. They do appear to be able to make second half adjustments where they slow the opposing run game down. I do think this Lions team is a different beast, man.
I think those adjustments got to go before the halftime, though. You got to find a way to figure it out early and adjust.
And, dude, I'll be honest on this one, too. And I've been thinking about this more and more, going back through my notes from the last time they played out in Detroit. And one thing that's unique about the Lions, it's kind of similar to the Superdome, if you remember. The press box is outdoors, for lack of a better word. Most stadiums, the press box is like a sequestered off area that's relatively silent because there's windows. There's like glass walls, if you will. So you can see everything, but you don't hear. You hear the crowd noise, but it's muted because of the walls or the windows, whatever it is. In Detroit, there's no windows or walls. Like, you sit in a separated area, but it's open air to the stadium. And you hear how loud that is. And I think for a team that makes a fair amount of checks, I think the noise, the crowd noise, can be a factor. I honestly do. Not in that they'll be intimidated or any of that, but if you're trying to make a check at the line of scrimmage and there's, whatever, 70,000 Honolulu Blue maniacs screaming, it impacts you. And it's a dome, dude. Like, these domes get louder because they have a roof. Like, there's nowhere for the noise to go. I'm not overhyping their crowd or any of that, but, like, there's a reason these domes could get so damn loud. And I'm not saying that's going to be an overwhelming factor, but I do think as Washington plays these really close games that go down to the wire, some of that could influence it. But by far, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery playing are what I'm most nervous about. Mm-hmm. What I'm most confident in is Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
800-636-1067 is the phone number. What are you most confident in for the Commanders going to Detroit on Saturday night? I'm most confident in Jaden Daniels, and frankly, if I'm buying or selling a car, I'm most confident in the Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. I don't even need the ad read here. B and I have bought, just since we've been doing this show, like 7 cars from these people.
Yep.
I drive a Toyota 4Runner from Orsman, Fairfax Toyota. They take great care of me. I'm about due to come in for service. Brian drives a Kia from Billy and Chantilly, Orsman Chantilly Kia. Like, they take great care of you. There's a reason we keep going back. Our guy Jaime in Manassas always calls in. Biagi calls in. I know Andy High is somewhere listening to the show. Like, we know these people because they've taken great care of us in our lives. They've got all the brands, 7 locations all across Northern Virginia. Whatever you're looking for, Toyota, you've heard us talk about the Kia store, Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, those big Ram trucks, which are awesome. They've got it all, Chevy, Buick, GMC. Financing is really important. They have great financing options. And, B, they have that Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Yep, they have their Orsman Lifetime Edge, and they give you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance, loan of cars with every major maintenance, and a lifetime engine guarantee. And there's more good news. If you have a car to sell, take it to Orsman. They will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy. Take it from us, B. Mitch and Finley, 2 beyond satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
B. Mitch and Finley, 1067 The Fan. We open these phone lines up. What are you most confident in? What are you most nervous about? Those are simple questions, but complicated answers. I want to let the boys in the aquarium check in on this to start. Landini, what are you most confident in, bruh?
I would say that I'm most confident in the Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin connection.
Mm-hmm.
They've been real good all year.
And most biggest nerves.
The run defense. I feel like that is a potential just absolute disaster.
They've generally been able to, they have flirted with absolute disasters. Saw that early against Philly, saw that early against Atlanta. They've generally been able to avoid it, at least over this last month. Jeffrey, what say you? What are you most confident in?
Man, Jeff's not here.
I specifically asked him to tell me when he's not there. Like, I feel like that's not that complicated. White Brian, what about you, buddy?
I am confident in Jaden Daniels' ability to put up points, and I am nervous about the Commanders' ability to stop the Lions.
Well, the whole NFL couldn't stop them, so I think that's pretty damn fair. What's crazy is we're talking about a divisional playoff round, right? Yeah. We're talking about one of the eight best teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, four of us have answered that are all heavily invested in watching this team and understanding this team, and all four of us have said a rookie. And I understand he's played 18 games. The kid ain't a rookie anymore.
He ain't a rookie anymore. After that third game, as Monty Coleman said.
But it speaks to what a special player he is.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open now. The MGM National Harbor.
We probably wouldn't be talking if he wasn't on that team.
No. B? Hell no. MGM National Harbor listening lines are open. Let's start with our guy, Jonesy. Jonesy, what are you confident in, bud?
Hey, how you doing today, JP and Dirty 30? How you doing, B-Mitch?
Good, brother.
Hey, look, what I'm confident in, fellas, is that I know JD, Bob, and crew, they're going to handle their business. But my concern is the defense. Can they stop that opposing runner that's going to be coming at them this Saturday? If we can get the three and out, get off the field, rattle golf, I think we can go ahead and get this game. That's the key right there. Those are the keys for me. Get after golf, stop that runner, and disrupt what they do. I'm out, fellas. Nice talk.
All right, bro.
I'm with that, gotcha, man. Thanks for the call, Jonesy. Listen, it was against the Texans, who have a good defense. They get good pass rush. That Goff threw five interceptions, man.
They won that game, too.
They did win that game.
It's like the game we had the turnovers and stuff.
Five turnovers
Philly.
Against Philly, yeah.
Yeah.
Goff was 15 of 30 with five picks in that game. Now, he did throw two late touchdowns.
He had a 20 of 30 because he completed those interceptions.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Help the the stats.
Yeah.
Non-believers, you can check the stats. Let's check in with Steady Eddie in Clinton. What's up, Steady Eddie?
What's good? What's good, gentlemen? Gentlemen, first time calling, man. I've been listening, man. Listen to the show since John Thompson was on there, the great John Thompson.
All right.
I'm not worried about nothing. I'm confident in what the team going to do. What the team going to go out there and do. I'm not really worried about Detroit. And I don't think a few people, a couple of people I talked to, they're not worried about it. I believe they're going to go out there and get them people. They going to go
I
get
sure
them.
I hope that happens, bro. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Hey, B. Mitch, I think it's going to happen, man. Hey, look, you got to think about it. We weren't even supposed to be here. The way they talk about us, man, beginning of the season, man, and preseason, we might win seven games. We weren't even supposed to be here. So we playing with house money, and right now we up. We up right
exactly.
now. So, yeah, we up right now. So, I got confidence in them, man. I think we're going to go get it, man. We're going to shock the world. We're going to do Ali on. We're going to shock the world. I'm out.
I love it, Steady Eddie.
Appreciate you, brother.
I mean, I tweeted this yesterday just because we were back in Ashburn. But this whole playoff run, and it's funny, when you talk about playoff runs in basketball, like in hockey and baseball, the runs take 6 weeks or whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because the series is series, and it takes longer. Like at this point, Washington's been in a playoff run for like, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you had to beat Philly, then you beat Atlanta, you seal it, you want the sixth seed, you have the miracle last-minute Mariota play in Dallas, then you go to Tampa and win. And I keep having this vision of Stringer Bell in my head. I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Like, when he says we're playing with house money, we're up there. Like, I agree. And I am so prepared, not prepared, but excited for – the eventual conversation about what an incredible year this has been. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. But I'm not ready to have it right now.
Not right now.
Is all eyes on Detroit. Marty's in Alexandria. Marty, what are you confident in? What has you nervous?
Well, I'm aligned with you, and Jaden we trust. I think he's going to play. He's going to play great. He's going to, and when the plays break down, that's when I think he's at his best. What I'm uncomfortable with is our ability to create run lanes. I don't know if all starting five linemen are going to be in there. I hope they are, because if they're not, we're going to be at risk. But I think the fix, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is I hope we activate Rod, because Rod may not give you a 40-yard run, but he's going to give you 3.1 yards every time, no matter who the hell's in front of him. So I'm hoping that Rod's on the field to move the ball, particularly for those four-down plays, so, you know, and Jaden can continue to take us down the field. So that's where I'm at.
Appreciate you, bud. I don't know this, but I'm going to credit Marty and Alexandria. I believe that's the first time we've heard a dude refer to Chris Rodriguez as Rod.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. At first, I was like, who the hell are you talking about? Let's call him C-Rod. When I just heard Rod, I'm like, okay, who the hell is Rod? And I said, okay, I know who you're talking about.
I liked it. Landfill, I'm going to defer to you. You can give me a noise. You can give me the good noise or the bad noise. How do we feel about Rod? Tension's building. Bang! Rod is here to stay. I'm gonna tell him that in the locker room. Somebody just called him Rod. See what he says.
What a Rod.
Do you think Chris Rodriguez is active Saturday?
I don't know. I have no clue on that one. It's just like, I think having McNichols in the game last week against Tampa was because of what he did in the first game. And it didn't work. But at this point, we can say what we want about any running back out there. The O-line got to create some lanes. They got to get some push. And they weren't getting any push. So you can say about Brian, you can say about C-Rod, McNichols, Austin. You don't do well without your offensive line being on somebody. And their D-line lived in our backfield. They got to correct that themselves.
To that point, B, last year when Sam Howell was getting just beaten to hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people involved in those sacks. Sam was involved. The O-line was involved. The play calling was involved. Like, it's never one – it's very rarely one little thing in football. And true. I do think some of the run game struggles are similar, that there's a lot more going on than just any one thing. I honestly could see it making sense to get Rodriguez back active. With Eckler back and playing so well, McNichols didn't get a ton of snaps because McNichols kind of serves that role.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they needed to be able to count on Eckler's health or whatever that was. But assuming you feel confident there, I think C-Rod gives you more in this situation because – When you've gone to him in tough running spots, he's been able to deliver. I'm pulling up snap counts now. Offensively, McNichols. Oh, man, why'd they just kick me out? Offensively, all right, I'm going to take another call, and then I'll circle back to that. Let's go to our boy Drew Cohen's on the line. What up, DC?
Hey, JP. Hey, B. Mitch. Good what to up, be man? Back, even if for a day or two. But in terms of what I'm certain about for this week, I am certain that the team that we've been seeing all year is going to show up the exact same way in Detroit because consistency has been a bedrock. I mean, when they went for it on fourth down in Tampa, I was like, well, that's Thursday night Eagle game all over. They're going to play the way they play. They're going to show up the way they show up. And hopefully good things happen. So, and Detroit's got to worry about us. I think we can play loose. So I think I'm not really worried about them. I mean, my only concern is going out with tailgate Ted in Detroit, and I don't want to get hurt with that. But I'm in playoff mode, so we should be good.
I think you got this. I think you got it. You got it. We got faith in you.
Ted got you.
Yeah. You and Ted are you will both push it to the limit, but I think you'll be responsible, largely because you know you got
largely,
the game.
Largely because JP won't be with y'all. Y'all be good.
Yo, I'm chilling on this trip. People have been hitting me up. It's 10 degrees. I get in late Friday night. I'm chilling on this trip. Thank you, Drew.
I'm looking to hang.
Just causing trouble. All right. Thank you, Drew. So I just looked this up. The three running backs in the Tampa game, B-Rob got 51% of the snaps, 37 mm-hmm. snaps. Eckler got 47% of the snaps, 34%. And then McNichols got 14% of the snaps. He got 7 snaps.
But he was impactful.
I don't know that he was.
No, I'm not talking about the first game.
Yeah, but against Tampa. Now, one difference, though, is special teams McNichols plays. He had 7% of special team snaps. 7 snaps, 33%. But C-Rod will play specials, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, hell, they never punted. So their special teams was – I mean, of their special team snaps, it was – they scored 3 touchdowns, right? No, they scored 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals, and they kicked off to start the game.
Something like that.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. No punts.
No punt coverage. I guess kickoff return. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go for it that much on fourth down, you can kind of adjust maybe even your special teams roster if you really want to dig into this thing. All right, you know what I'm going to do? Landfill, I'm on fire. I'm going to break on time. Bet you didn't think that. We're going to keep the phone lines going. If you're on hold, stay there. How confident are you in the Commanders? What are you most confident in traveling to Detroit? What makes you nervous? National Harbor listener lines are open. Taking phone calls right now on what you are most confident in with Washington headed to Detroit. Divisional round of the playoffs, baby. Drab's favorite, Co from the Foe, is on the line.
Co.
Ironically, line Foe. Co, what up, man?
Co from the Foe on Foe.
Old foe, man. What's up, fellas?
Hey, I'm what up, brother?
In the preparation and the game plan that our coaches is going to prepare for us. Like y'all said, we've been in it for the last few weeks, and we always seem to be prepared and ready. And I don't know what Steady Eddie talking about. He must be sipping on that fast Eddie, that's Pop say, deep Eddies. Because I'm concerned about Jameson Williams. I think that's that X factor. Like you say, B, maybe we can approach this week exactly like we did last week. We throw our corner on their man, and we need to get a plan for number 9. They got 2 running backs like last week, and their 2 is a little bit stronger than last week. But we're going in with the same mindset. But we got to get a plan for 9. That's that X factor. That's my most concern right there. We put pressure on Goff, and possibly we can make Goff look a little bit like Sam Darnold. I ain't say as sorry as Darnold, but we put pressure on him. He ain't got legs like Baker or Jaden Daniels. So tell me what you think about that.
All right, bro.
Appreciate the call,
now,
man.
He doesn't use his legs a lot. He don't like to leave the pocket.
Dude.
That dude is deadly in the pocket. So you got to get some pressure on him. Move him off his spot.
Co's talking about his concern with Jameson Williams, and I think that's legitimate. Hell, I remember when that kid was coming out of
Bama.
With
the wind, dog.
You know, I thought he was the best receiver in that draft, and that draft was loaded. But then he had the injury. I think he had the injury. Was it the SEC title game or the national championship game?
I thought.
Either way. And he's had some stuff since he's gotten into the NFL. He had the gambling thing.
And some Jameson, too.
He had like a weird gun thing that went away this year. He's 4th in the NFL, though, in yards per catch. 17 yards per catch. And the guys that are ahead of him have nowhere near the production he does. So, like, sometimes guys will be deep play threats, but that's kind of all they are, and the production's not there. The 3 guys that are ahead of him, the little skinny kid, Alec Pierce for the Colts, but he only had 37 catches on the year.
The first time I heard his name was just now.
Really? I think you'd recognize some of it. He can play a little bit. But
I haven't heard a lot of talk about him.
Quarterback play out there was so bad. Christian Watson for the Packers.
Yep.
Only had 29 catches, big play threat. Keon Coleman for the Bills. Josh Allen kind of spreads it around. And then Jameson Williams, of like 1,000-yard receivers, he's way out in front as far as YPC.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he only got to 1,001 yards on the season, but he also only started 11 games.
And they only got like 7 damn weapons over there.
Right. I like that call from Co. Let's go to Jamal in D.C. What up, Jamal?
What up, Jay?
JP, B. Mitch, what's going on?
Chilling, man.
Man, I'm definitely most confident in JD5, man. I mean, this guy, I feel like, I mean, if he's not on this team this year, we're definitely not in the predicament we're in right now, man. I think we're probably, what, 5-6, whatever they said we were in Vegas, that's where we would have been without him. So if we got him, and not only the fact that we have him, we have Cliff, who calls magnificent games for the most part, man. And if the game is close in the fourth quarter, y'all, we winning it. I mean, that's all I've seen the team do. Like, if, and I feel like not only that, like, we had a previous caller who said we playing with house money. To me, yes, we got to make it count. And in that situation, that's when it counts. If Detroit look up in this fourth quarter and they see it's close, oh, that's when the pressure kicks in at that point, because they're not supposed to lose this game. And just like I'm saying, they've seen us win these close games. They will start to think about it. It's natural. Now, what concerns me the most is that offensive line they're working with, man. Everybody keeps saying Philly got the best line. Man, you look at the old 22 of this line we about to go up against, man. Boy, these big boys, what's his name? Taylor Decker and Sasuda, Samoan Sewell, brother, man. Yeah. These boys consistently 8, 10, 9 yards down, sometimes 15, 20 yards downfield blocking, man. So to me, that's my biggest concern. And I feel like to combat that, we might have to be, we might got to take a page out of Tom Bowles and just blitz these people, man, and force them to have to, you know, try to kill that running game, man, and have to throw quick passes until Chin and them strap up those helmets, man. We're going to count on y'all to come up and make these hits and tackles, man, because we sending Louisville and Wagner and them boys after them, man, because I don't like that old line being able to dominate us running, you know, with that run block the way they do. I think we got to force them to pass pro the game, y'all, and I think that'd give us a chance, man. So what y'all think? Thanks for taking my call.
That's a good call, man. Good offensive line. Detroit has a really good offensive line, man. So. These have been good calls. Let's finish this with Emac from Chattanooga. Emac, what are you confident in? What are you nervous about?
I don't think anybody could be confident in anybody else more than Jaden Daniels. I mean, we've all said it. He's played in huge games. He's an 18-game veteran now, the way he's played. I mean, he's not a rookie. I've got no issues with him being prepared, being ready, playing. He's going to play his game. I don't think he's going to try to do more than he needs to do. I don't think he presses. He's just calm. What concerns me, though, is our left tackle, Brandon Coleman. He's going to be in a loud stadium furthest away from the center when we got to make checks. You know, I'm concerned about those third and twos turning into third and sevens. False starts,
yeah,
things like
he's
that.
Playing hurt, and he's playing hurt, and he had a rough week last week. So that's a fair concern, man. I appreciate it. Good call.
You can alleviate that concern by helping them with some chips,
yeah,
and things like that. Because one thing I say, coaches can help players. And if he is a little banged up, you need to help him a little bit and just have somebody out there to sit on his edge, stop him, and stop the defensive end from just getting a jump on him all the time.
Well, and one thing I wanted to say is, you know, people are saying the Lions might get nervous if this thing gets close. And that may be correct. Like, the Lions are going to feel a lot of pressure. And if Washington starts to creep back in it, maybe you get a little butt-tight-itis. But the Lions were also really good in one-score games this year, and it deserves to be said. I think their record is either 6-2, 7-2 in one-score games.
Okay.
Like, Dan Campbell is not a dude who clinches much, you know? Like, I really think there's some similarities between these teams, the way they're built, the aggressive mindset, the fourth down stuff. Both their coaches are named Dan and have goatees. Like, there's a lot of similarities. I think the Lions are further along in kind of their venture to becoming a Super Bowl contender. But I really believe that Washington, now turnovers, special team, big special teams plays, mm-hmm, great equalizer in playoff football.
True.
Turnovers and great special teams plays. You get a punt return, kickoff, touchdown, like changes.
You just get across the 50.
Totally.
You know, get a big play off of it and don't give up any. That sways it just a little bit to your side.
I do believe, though, and I'm curious if you agree with me, I do believe for Washington to win this game, they got to play damn near great. This is not something Detroit, I don't see coughing this one up.
Now, I don't see it happening like that, but the one thing I'll say is Washington has taken a lot of haymakers and they were there at the end. If they take some haymakers and they still sitting there, I don't care if Dan Campbell's been around a long time, that football team's been around a long time. You've seen these guys in their last 5-6 games. They will get to be a little concerned.
Hell yeah.
And I believe that we just got to make sure we don't help the other team. And that's with costly penalties and stupid mistakes at certain times.
If you got a glass jaw, you should watch your mouth. Nobody go anywhere.